The Rambam speaks about the extraordinary divine wisdom that you see in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu fits so many dinim and so many ideas into such a small passage in Chumash, the Mikra HaMechukah. So one example is right here, in Parshas Kitzeitse in Chamishi, first couple of psukim in what we call Perek Chavdalad. Over the course of a handful of psukim, the Torah lays out the framework for essentially all of Kiddushin and Gittin. The Torah speaks of marriage, Ki kach ish isha uva Allah. The Torah indicates that usually, Baruch Hashem, marriages are happy things and productive things. And usually marriages are sources of joy for many people for many, many years. Sometimes, tragically, that's not the case. The Torah tells us over the course of these psukim that there's a process for creating a marriage. That's how the Maseches Kiddushin opens. That there are kinyanic kiddushin, there are different processes to formalize a marriage, all three of which are rooted in these psukim. And there are two processes that can, al pi din, end a marriage. The Torah speaks about get, and the Torah speaks about misas habal. Husband passes away, that's the end of the marriage. Woman does not continue. A widow is permitted to remarry. And the Torah speaks about divorce. The Torah says that if a husband hands his wife a sefer krisus, a writ of separation, dover hakoris beino beino, a document, a sefer doesn't mean a book, but a document that severs the two of them from one another, v'nasan b'yad v'chasav la sefer krisus, he writes for her, or has written for her, a sefer krisus, a shtar that speaks of their separation, v'nasan b'yadon, he puts in her hand, v'shilacham ibeiso, and thereby that ends, that severs the marriage relationship between husband and wife. The Torah goes on to indicate that at that point she's permitted to remarry. We don't pass on like the Catholic Church. Chumash is clear that divorce is when it's necessary. It's a tragic situation, but it is effective. Divorce is effective. Woman is allowed to remarry, or if a husband passes away, woman is a married woman is a widow is allowed to remarry. So that's the opening Mishnah Maseches Kiddushin. That there are three potential, that there are various kinyane kiddushin, kesef, shtar, rabia, all of which are rooted in these psukim, and that a marriage can end in one of two ways, beget, uva misas habal. And then the Gemara and the Midrashei Halacha mine these psukim for all the details of what constitutes a kosher get. You saw the Rambam, a tour de force, a masterpiece, where he opens up Hilchas Gerushin by having essentially digested. That's what he does throughout the Mishnah Torah. Is he digests all of the Torah Shval Peh and then reorganizes it. But here it's the beginning of Hilchas Gerushin, one of the places where it's particularly striking that he digested and absorbed all the halachas of how to write a get, how to give a get. And then presents it as an organized list of here are the 10 dinim, the ten halachic doraisa details of how you write and give a get, how you divorce. He says there has to be a get, there has to be a written document, and the husband has to authorize this willingly, and what the document has to include, and how it's written, and how it's given. And so on and so forth. He lists all the various 10 dinim, and then he begins to show you how those dinim come from the psukim. There's other dinim which are drabanan as well. One of those dinim, in terms of how the get is written, appears at the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Gittin. The Mishnah says that you can have a get that looks like it was perfectly well written, and yet it is not valid. Or sometimes you can have a get which was. Doesn't look like it was perfectly well written. It actually was written ka'alacha, and yet it's still not valid in this context. That's the Mishnah Banam Chavdal Manav, the beginning of Parakalaget, the beginning of the third parak of Gittin. Kalaget. Shiniftav Shalolu Shem Isha Pasol. If the get was written, Shalolu Shema, it was written with the right ink, it was written with the right paper, and so on and so forth, it has the right text, but it was not written L'shem Isha. So that is unacceptable. And the Mishnah goes on to give several different examples. The first case the Mishnah gives is your passive fellow is passing by a Sofra school, and the Sofrim, the Sofrim in training are practicing how to write a get. So the Rebbe is dictating to them, okay, you're going to write a get that says that Yosef and Shimon is divorcing his wife, Rachel Bas Meir, whatever it is. And the fellow says, oh, that's my name. That's my wife's name. I wanted to, we were intending to get divorced, sadly, tragically. We intended to get divorced. So joint day, right? There's a whole classroom of Sofrim in training that are writing to get with the right name. So let's see if one of them wrote it correctly. We'll get that on the cheap. So the Mishnah says that's not acceptable. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, that case, not only that case is not acceptable, that's a case where it wasn't even written to be used as an instrument of divorce at all. It was just practice. It wasn't L'shem Gerushin. The Mishnah goes on to say, even if it was written L'shem Gerushin, but it was written L'shem of someone else's Gerushin. And the Sofer wrote it for Yosef ben Shimon and what do we say, Rachel Bas Meir. And then they were able to heal, to cure the marriage, and Baruch Hashem thinks that their relationship is in a better place. Baruch Hashem, they no longer need that get. And then a different fellow comes in. He happens to have the same name. His wife has the same name. So even though it was written L'shem Gerushin, but not L'shem this husband, not L'shem that wife, that's also unacceptable. That's what the Mishnah says. The first Mishnah, the third parak of Gittin, that one of the rules, that's one of the Rambam's 10 rules. What number is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Rule number 5, that's right. That's a nichtav l'shma. That's a nichtav l'shma. It's not enough that it says the right things, that you're written with intentionality, and the intent is A, that was meant to be a get, and B, that was meant to be a get for these people, for this husband and this wife. So that's a din d'oraisa, clearly stated, elegantly laid out in the beginning of a parak in Gittin, but not in the beginning of the first parak in Gittin. L'chora. That's what's curious. What's curious is the way our Masechta begins, as Ritva points out, strikingly, our Masechta begins with a Din D'Rabbanan. Moving back from Daf Chavdala to Daf Beis, a maybe began with Dina Sayam, a Jew brings a get from Medina Sayam, from places in the sea. As you know, Eretz Yisrael lies on the Mediterranean coast. It's on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean. The western border of Eretz Yisrael is the eastern coast of the Mediterranean. So you could, as we know from the story of Yonah, or as you know from looking at a map, you could reach all of southern Europe or northern Africa by jumping in a boat from out of Yafo or Haifa or Akko or some other port city, and taking a boat all along, you could head to Greece or to Italy, or to France, or to Spain, or to Portugal, or you could head to Tunisia, or Algeria, or Morocco, all along the Mediterranean coasts. So Medina Sayam, the fellow arrives by boat from Rome. A fellow arrives by boat from Athens. A fellow arrives by boat from Lisbon, bearing a get for a woman who lives in Bnei Brak, or lives in Sipori, or lives in Shepharam, or lives in Be'er Sheva. So a fellow is bringing a get from Medina Sayam. We won't deal with this right now. Rashi says, if opening Rashi, kol chutz l'aretz kara le'Medina Sayam, bar mi'bavel. Rashi, I think Medina Sayam is just an elegant way, dramatic way of saying chutz l'aretz. And Tosus is not so convinced. The second Tosus says that maybe Medina Sayam specifically means further out, as opposed to nearby. Okay. But if you're bringing from Italy, you're bringing it from Portugal, you're bringing it from Tunisia, that's definitely Medina Sayam. So a Jew shows up with the get from Medina Sayam, and he finds the wife, and he says, your husband your husband instructed me to hand this to you, and thereby you're accepting this get, he is no longer your husband, but you're accepting this get, he's your ex-husband. So a fellow delivers a get from husband to wife. The Mishnah says, Tzarech sheyomar b'fanei nichta b'fanei nechtam. So we require him to say that he was present when the get was written, he was present when the get was signed, b'fanei nichta b'fanei nechtam. Then the Mishnah gets involved in some of the details of which geographical zone the din applies to. Rabbi Leal says, even if you're not so far away, Rekem and Cheger, you still have to ask, say, b'fanech, b'fanech. Rabbi Lazar says, even closer, Mikfar Ludim, Lulud, two cities that are on opposite sides of the border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, so close, Lahavdil, Kansas City, right? Kansas City is over the border from Kansas. Kansas City is in Missouri. Or like Lahavdil, West Berlin, East Berlin, right? Which first couple of decades were on opposite sides of a country border. So even from Kfar Ludim to Lud, still Rebbe says, even if it's not far away at all, you have to say to the Chacham and say no. And it's Tzarech Shiyom V'Aynech V'Aynechtam El HaMevi M'Medinas Hayam V'HaMolech V'HaMevi M'Medina L'Medina B'Medina Sayam, also Tzarech Shiyom V'Aynechtam. Okay. More details, what happens if you're within one area to another area, Medina Sayam. Rishon Lezion says even a smaller trip within Medina Sayam, hegemonia l'hegemonia, for one hegemony to another hegemony, for one area to another, one political area to another political area. More details, and finally the Mishnah says at the end, the Mishnah starts to talk about what the borders are, what's the northern border, the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. We will not discuss this now, but Tosfos raises a fascinating question. The big Tosfos, V'Ashkelon, whether these borders, the Mishnah starts saying that the eastern border is Rekem, and the southern border is Ashkelon, the northern border is Akko. That's pretty small. Akko. You can go to Akko. Akko is not, we don't think of Akko as the northern border. So we generally think of Ashkelon. Anything south of Ashkelon is not Chayv and Trumas and Isis. Really? Wow. Anything north of Akko is not Chayv and Trumas and Isis. Says the big Tosfos for Ashkelon, as the Machlokas, the uncle and the nephew, and Tom, the Reen, others get involved in, are these borders, how do these borders correspond to other borders we find elsewhere in Chazal for Eretz Yisrael? And maybe there are different borders for a different purpose. That's the question. Are these the borders for Eretz Yisrael? We have to square this with other borders elsewhere? No. This is something unique for this Din Rabbanan. But Nefei Nechtam, it doesn't correspond to Kedushas Haaretz. And then finally, the Mishnah ends, coming back to the core ideas. Hamevi get be'eretz Yisrael and Tzarech Shem V'Aynech V'Aynechtam. We said at the beginning of the Mishnah, you bring a get from Medina Sayyam, then you gotta say V'Aynech V'Aynechtam. But be'eretz Yisrael, a fellow's bringing a get from Tzipori to Be'er Sheva, a fellow's bringing a get from Yerushalayim to Yafo. So he does not have to say V'Aynech V'Aynechtam. Yeshal Orim, if someone raises an issue, is kayem b'chos amav. If someone raises a concern about the get, then when that happens, we'll have to verify the signatures, make sure the get is kosher. We don't require up front, if you're bringing a get within Eretz Yisrael, there's no requirement up front to make this report. All the shaykh has to do is bring a get within Eretz Yisrael, just deliver the get. You don't have to make a report by Nefa Nechtam, but if you're bringing a get from Medina Sayyam, wherever exactly Medina Sayyam is, subject to Machlokas Hatam, the Mishnah, subject to Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, wherever that is, then the Taka this din, Dirabanan, that it's not sufficient for him to hand the get to the wife, to the erstwhile wife, but he also has to make this verbal report that I was present when, for the ksivas I get and for the chasimas I get. Befanai nechtav, u befanai nechtav. So that's the opening Mishnah. This din is din drabanan. So that's what you saw, what Ritzvah point out about this, the opening Ritzvah, or the opening of Rabbeinu Kreskes, or however you want to call that Rishon. The Rishon that certainly used to be known as Ritva, and now is perhaps he is Ritva, or perhaps he's called Rabbeinu Kreskes. So what are the Ritva comment? Just warming us up as we're learning the Mishnah. Or what are Rabbeinu Kreskes comment? You know what he's saying?
He really really should start. I mean, it makes sense to start with the actual Lachos writing again.
Yeah, should start with the third parak. Third parak would be a great place to start. Talk about Lishma. Or you could have started from the end of the Masechta, in the last parak of Gittin. Towards the end of Masechta, you hear about sort of the larger picture of grounds, you know, different motivations for getting a get. And even in terms of the halachos, the Mishnah is at the end of the Masechta talking about what you're writing a get. As we saw, the Mishnah beginning third parak talks about how to write a get. Dinim daraisa. Right, exactly. So that's what Rabbeinu Kreskes here says. Tana hechikoi. He has two questions. Number one, Tana hechikoi de kasani amevi. If you've learned Maseches Brachos, that question should be familiar. The first question he has is, we're starting in the middle of a discussion. If you bring a get from Medinas Hayom, it feels lahavzo zoh, like, you know, some people have, different people have different ways of reading books. And then some people start from the beginning. And some people just start from the end, you read the last page and get, you know, spoiler. And some people would like to just sort of pick up books from the middle and just go. So, lahavdo, alfei avdalos, if you've ever read Tintin, the classic Belgian comics. So Tintin, you can just pick up anywhere and go. The plot's really irrelevant. It's just the ongoing action. But a Mishnah, the Havda Alfi Avdals, we're discussing Dinim. How do you pick up in the middle? This sounds as though we're like in the middle of a conversation. We already know there's something called a get, and you're going to bring a get. And the question is, you bring a get from here to there, what are all the details? Where do we start from? Did we miss Daf Aleph? Do we miss what's coming before? So the Ritva says, the answer to that, a parakama de kiddushin koi. That's how we opened a couple minutes ago. That the conversation really begins. The opening Mishnah of Maseches Kiddushin is an introductory Mishnah. Opening Mishnah of Maseches Kiddushin begins by saying, there are three kinyanei kiddushin, and there are two ways to undo a kiddushin, get with Mises Abal. So the Rabbeinu Kreska says, that's where the real starting point is. Katani hasam kones atzum beget. Oh, okay. So now we know something called a get. Now let's get into the details. We get into the details, he says. Ubedinu delisti hilchas get bereisha. We really should have spoken first about the halachas of a get. Oh, we are talking about the halachas of a get. But what does he mean? Should have spoken about the halachas d'oraisa of a get. Before getting into and we still talk about the universal halachas of a get. Instead of talking about one drabanan detail, what happens if you bring it again in Medinas Hayam? Let's say it's not in Medinas Hayam. Let's say it's from Eretz Yisrael. And why not start with the Dinim Daraisa? Mishum dihi takanta chaviv alei va'aktama. The answer is, Ritva says, that we started here because it's a din drabanan. We started because it's a din drabanan. I thought that would be reason to not start here. Why don't we start logically with the core Dinim Daraisa, and then subsequently we can go to the Dinim Daraban? What's going on? So the answer is, if you've learned Bava Basra, I think everyone here has learned Bava Basra, but if you learned the eighth paragraph of Bava Basra, so the Gemara there makes a comment, and if you follow the Surah Sashas, this idea appears in eight different Masechtas. That even though you would think that it would start from the beginning, very often Chazal began with a din that comes from a drasha instead of a pasuk, or even a din that's drabanan instead of a din daraisa, because I did the chavivale. There's an added chavivus, there's an added excitement about the parts of halacha that human beings are more involved in working out and either discovering, in the case of a drasha, or actually creating, legislating, in the case of a din drabanan. So there's added excitement. So yeah, ultimately you have to be able to organize a whole team in your head, but the Tanaim will express their chavivus for divrei sofrim, either for the dinim doraisa that were nidrashu midrashu, or the dinim drabanan that were created by Chazal. So we'll start with that. So the Gemara in the beginning of the eighth parak of Bava Basra says that's why we start parak Yeshochlan, the dinim of Nachla. We start first with the dinim that come from midrasha. That's more exciting. Beginning of Yevamos, the Gemara says we start first with the cases that come from midrasha. More exciting. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Beis. I think they've. They source that in the footnotes here. Yeah. Right? That there, the Gemara actually says, the Mishnah talks about the case of Meiser, which is Drabanan. We highlight the case of Meiser, which is Drabanan. Meiser on vegetables is Drabanan, as opposed to Meiser on grapes and wheat. because that's more exciting. It's the Rabbanim. So that's what's going on here, right? Ritzel points out as well. That we chose to start with a detail that only comes up in certain cases. It only applies, number one, when you have a shliach. And number two, only when the shliach is coming from Medinas Hayam. So this is very, very limited. And yet, and it's Rabbanim. So it's a limited case. It's Rabbanim. Why don't we start from something more global, universal, and something more fundamental? So that's exactly why we start with this, because we were excited to start with the Din Rabban. So that's one layer of why the Masechta starts with Hanech Venechtem. Ritva says, since it's Rabbanan, it's Chavivalei, we bring that first. And there's, I think, in addition, it is a Rabbanan, as Gemara makes clear, and as Ritva highlights, it is Rabbanan. But at the same time that it's Rabbanan, there's so much, it vaults us into so much of the Dinim Daraisa, so many of the concepts, some of the core concepts. It's Drabanan, and it's, as Ritva's pointed out, it also only comes up sometimes. But it gets us into so many of the core concepts, including Daraisas, very, very quickly. Just think of what we just saw. It speaks to the fact that there's a get, and there's a and there's a possibility of a shaliach, and it speaks to the Mishnah already at the end mentions yiskayim b'chosamav. In a case you don't have vaynech vaynechtam because there's. It was in Eretz Yisrael, what may end up happening is you're going to need to verify signatures. So everybody gets to think about the fact that and anytime you have a shtar, there's always a question of, is it valid or not? What else comes up? So the Gemara is about to mention that although this is Drabanan, it raises also the issue of Lishma. So while Lishma comes up officially in the third parak, Lishma is already coming up. We're already hearing about shtar, about get, and about shliach. And about the question of is the get, is the shtar valid? Are these signatures valid? We're hearing about the issue of lishma. And then there are two even larger issues that come up in the Mishnah. What's this din rabbanan? We have the shliach do what? I mean, our Torah, what the shliach needs to do is deliver the get. But the rabbanan, if you've made the get, you say, yeah, he also has to do what?
Save
Hanef Hanechtam. What would you normally call that elsewhere? A fellow comes to Basin and tells us something that we didn't know. Edus. Right? What's the most basic din the Torah tells about Edus? You need two Edus. Here, right away, the Mishnah is thrusting us in to the question of one Edus or two Edus. Yeah.
Well, don't we see that you can have one Edus when it's talking about a Edus?
Okay, good. There are cases where we have one aid, and the Gemara is going to get to that very, very quickly. Even before it gets, but just looking at them, very good. Just looking at the Mishnah, it is a din drabanan that only applies in a small fraction of cases, but it's already opening up the question of questions of shlichus, questions of lishma, questions of verification, questions of two aidim versus one aid. And finally, as we're going to see very soon also, the question of Bechal, how does a shtar even work? How does a shtar even work? So let's see where the Gemara takes us. Unless there are questions. Hands? Yeah?
How do we know where he's coming from?
How do we know where he's coming from? What do you mean?
I mean, let's say he's going from the north of Israel to the south of Israel. And he can get on a boat because it's faster than going by land.
Ah, that's a good question. We're going to ask him. Not only we can ask him where you're from.
Okay, we'll see
and it. Also the get typically lists the location. As a matter of fact, okay. We may not see these dinim as we progress through the Masechta, at least in the Kiyas, is actually one whole separate sub-world of the practical halachas of putting together get are the way in which there's a whole Torah of how you specify the location. You specify, you name the location, and to make sure there could be more than one Springfield. There are many Springfields. There can be more than one Columbia. There can be more than one Pinsk. So you give rivers also. You say, you don't just say the get is written in New York. You say New York, Mas Yasfa al Nahar Hudson val Kef Yama, the city that's on the Hudson River and on the ocean. And there you have, look, Zevi has a copy of it again. There you go.
It says Hudson, New York.
Hudson. Hey, and how do you spell Hudson? How do you spell New York? And so on and so forth. So there's a lot that's there's a lot of investment in recording the location, Aaron. So the get will say, where it was written. Let's take a look at the Gemara. So the Gemara, the opening question, which Rashi pointed out, the second Rashi, Tzarech HaShliach HaMeviyo Lomar, etc., the time of Mefarish B'Gemara. The time of Mefarish, but the Gemara is going to explain the reason. One more thing, Din, we should see in Rashi, and then we'll indeed follow his instruction and take a look at the Gemara. Shliach Ze HaBal Aso Shliach LaHalach. One more thing that Rashi tells us is that this shaliach, there's more than one type of shaliach for a get. And we'll come across the two major types of shluchim. There may be a third. The two major types of shluchim are the husband makes a shliach to act on his behalf, or the wife makes a shliach to act on her behalf. Now, if the husband's in Beijing and the wife is in Bombay, so how does it get to either one travels to the other, or one has to make a shaliach? Sometimes a husband and wife may be in the same suite of offices, but things are so painful that they're not willing to even see each other. That's not always the case, but sometimes the case. And sometimes there'll be a shliach who's appointed to bring the get down the hall from room number 5 to room number 7. Sometimes that's necessary, sometimes it's not. So when you have a shaliach, the two major types of shluchim are there's a marker. A shliach leholacha, a shliach to bring the get, and a shliach lekabala, a shliach to receive the get. That's the husband can make a shliach, because as the Torah tells us, that usually the get is chal when it's vinasan biyada. He places it into her hand. He delivers it to her hand. So either if there's someone in between, it could be the husband says, please deliver this get on my behalf to my wife. Or it could be she says to a shliach, please receive the get on my behalf from my husband. What's the difference whether he makes a shliach or she makes a shliach? Either way, the shliach is in Beijing to get the get from the husband on Monday and delivers it on Thursday to Bombay. But the nafkamina is...
It's not the other.
Well, either one is valid. Either because his shliach put it in her hand or because her shliach was acting on her behalf and therefore when he received it, that was like she was receiving it. But you're touching something key, which is... Either way, it can't be Balkarcha. Okay. But something even more fundamental. You're right that Zevi's pointing out, well, whoever is making the shliach has to designate the shliach. He's making shliach. He has to designate the shliach of his own accord. If she's designating shliach, if it's her shliach, she has to designate the shliach. The biggest nafkamina is. Right. Are they married on Tuesday? Are they married on Wednesday? If she makes a shaliach, if it's a shaliach with Kabbalah, then the gerushin occurs the moment that the shaliach receives it from the husband on Monday. Because the shaliach, male or female, shaliach with Kabbalah is acting on behalf of the wife, and therefore in Beijing, when the shaliach got it from the husband, that was they're already divorced as of Monday. Whereas if the husband made a shaliach, then nothing happens when the husband hands it to the shliach, the gerushin happens when the shliach hands it to the wife on Thursday. Sorry? We'll get into details. Fair enough. We'll get into details. No, but in that case, maybe he's not acting as a shliach halach. Yeah. But as I said, the two main types of shlichus are shliach halach and shliach kabbalah. Good. So that's what Rashi points out. Here we're talking about a case of shliach halach where the husband made the shliach, and now the Gemara says we'll follow Rashi's instructions that we ought to figure out why did Chazal create this din drabban? They don't create din drabban on for no reason. That had to be a very strong motivation. What was the concern that they were solving? What problem were they solving? My taima. So Rabba says Vishain Bikin Lashma. Rabba says Vishain Aidim Mitsuin Lakaimo. Rabba says that this Mishnah is an extension of the Mishnah Dav Chav Dalet. There is a din that the guys are written Lashma. So Rabba says we're concerned. Rashi goes on to explain that in Eretz Yisrael we're pretty sure that the Sofrim, we're confident that the Sofrim in Eretz Yisrael and the big learned Jewish communities, they know what they're doing. They know the din of Lashma. If you get a get from Yafo, from Yerushalayim, from Be'er Sheva, from Tzipori, we're confident that it was written properly Lashma. But you get a get from one of the Greek isles, you get a get from Portugal, you get a get from Algeria, who knows? Are we so convinced that the sofer in Lisbon knows to write a get Lashma? We're not 100% convinced. So we want to make sure. So we have the shliach has to report that it was done properly. Rava says, no. Lefisha ein edim mitzuyin lekaimo. The concern is not Lashma. The concern, rather, that's the way the Gemara appears to say now, the concern was not a question of Lashma. The concern is we don't have edim around to be mekayim the shtar. Let's just finish the thought for a moment. As the Mishnah indicates at the end, and as you saw also, and we'll get to next time, Mishnayos and Ksubas talk about this. How do you know that the chasimas are real? Maybe it was a forgery. So if the husband's going to raise a concern, husband's going to show up and say, I never authorized, I get the whole thing is a fake. So we're going to need to verify the signatures to be convinced that it's for real. So how are we going to do that? So if it's an Eretz Yisrael, so Yerushalayim to Yafo, if the husband shows up and complains, we'll find people who are traveling back and forth to Yerushalayim and Yafo who will recognize, yeah, we know those signatures, it's authentic. But from Portugal to Eretz Yisrael, we may not be able to find anyone. So that's why we have to nail it right now. The shliach has to tell us right away, the moment he hands over the get, the delivery of the get comes packaged together with, and I know it's authentic. So we did the Kiyum HaShtar right now. The Shliach himself did the Kiyum HaShtar. That's Rabba. That's Rav. The Gemara, as I mentioned this morning, is going to methodically go through. It's first going to ask about Afkaminas. Then it's going to go through a series of questions for Rabba and for Rava. We're going to focus first. We're going to jump ahead a little bit to Daf Gimel. The Gemara wants to know, well, Kiyum HaShtar requires two Eidim. So if this is meant to be the Kiyum HaShtar, how could this be the Kiyum HaShtar if all you have is one Eid? And that, what looks like a detailed question, is going to open up very, very big vistas for us. To be continued.